Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercies, because they endure forever. Thank you for all your children that are here. We thank you for the goodness of the Lord in our lives. For thus far, have kept us from the beginning of the year until now. As we look forward, Lord, to the rest of the year, we thank you, Lord, because you have gone ahead of us. And all we have to do is follow. Praise the Lord. And this morning, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And we ask that so it be this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So I want to talk today, minister to you on prophetic media crossover. This is our crossover. Today is the last day of June. Tomorrow, by the grace of God, will be July the 1st. So between these 2 days, I'm going to do a part one and part two of the prophetic crossover. And I want you to stay with me and let's see what the Lord is telling us. There are many instructions in the Word of God concerning crossing over. And there are some other declarations that we will make. And but if you look at today's title, you see that we're crossing over to new horizons. That's right. You know, so we thank God for what he's already done for 6 months, but we look forward to the next 6 months. Well, for, you know, everybody that's here or everybody listening in later on, first thing I want to say is there's one certainty of what the Lord is saying, and that is go forward. You know, that is what the Lord is saying. God never likes people to just stay in one place. In fact, there are many times, as we'll see over the next day or so, sometimes that God had to challenge the people to get going. Praise the Lord. The classic story of the people at the Red Sea, which we have told from time to time on this platform, God specifically used those very two words. And he said, tell the people to go forward. And we were talking even before the consecration, we were talking about the, you know, pulling down strongholds and so forth. And we talked about casting out imaginations. Then we wanted to talk about opening gates and barriers. And all of those things follow together in sequence. And during the opening of gates and cutting asunder of barriers, we talked about this very thing that the Lord said to the children of Israel. You know, you got to go forward. See, because the thing is, you know, the Red Sea was in front of them and it didn't look like they could go forward. But the Lord said, you got to go forward. So in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? You know, now Moses was crying unto the Lord. I mean, what are we going to do at this point? And the Lord said, look, why are you crying unto me? Of course, Moses did encourage the people. He told them, fear not, you know, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today, and so on. And the Lord fight for you and all that. But he stood there after he said that and called on the name of the Lord, looking for the Lord to do something, you know, after he said that. He encouraged the people and himself, he stood guard, watching for what the Lord would say. And as he was still praying in his heart, you know, trying to figure out what he would do, you know, he knew that God was going to do something. He just didn't know exactly what it was, because he knew God didn't bring them there to kill them or destroy them there. So as he was thinking in his heart and still wondering what the Lord would do, the Lord said to him, well, why are you here still crying to me? You know, what you need to do is tell the people that they go forward. And then the Lord gave him instruction of what to do. So number one thing is that we got to go forward. You know, that means also, you know, let the things that have been in the past be. The first 6 months of this year, well, you know, that, you know, basically we can build on it and improve on it, but you really can't go and change anything you did yesterday, or the day before, and so on and so forth, you know. So we need to focus on moving forward. So there are some parts of this declaration today and tomorrow that I'll be talking about. I'll be talking about moving forward. I'll also be talking about what the Lord is telling us to move forward to, you know. So in the case of the children of Israel, they were supposed to move forward towards the promised land. Don't just stand there. Move forward toward the promise. And I also say here, the Lord is telling us to move forward to new horizons. Being that we're talking about horizons, I'm going to talk about what that means. And some of you have heard me describe horizons before, but it's horizon is not, you know, it's not my thing. You know, it's in the dictionary. You can find it out yourself. But it could mean a number of things, you know. And I looked it up this morning. I knew what it meant, but I just looked it up. And there was something interesting that I want to read to you. Looked up horizon. One definition says, horizon is the line at which the earth's surface and the sky appear to meet. Well, everybody knows that. That's the standard definition of horizon. You know, so there's an imaginary line. It looks as if the earth's surface meets the sky. You look far out there. If you have a clear line of sight, you will see that horizon, that line, where it looks as if the surface of the earth and the sky meet. That's what they call horizon. But this second definition was, you know, is even more intriguing with respect to what we're going to be talking about. It said the limit of a person's mental perception, experience, or interest. I said, wow. You know, the limit. You know, so that can be a limit on your perception. You know, there can be a limit even on your expectation. There can be a limit on your experience. There can be a limit on the things that you are looking forward to. And here's how the Lord, you know, showed it to Abraham on this subject of horizon. And, you know, again, we've talked about this before, but it's pertinent to this lesson. We see that the story of Abraham and Lot. So I'm not going to go into that particular story, but I do want to read a couple of verses here in Genesis 13 and verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated unto him, so what the Lord said to him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. So again, this is God didn't want Abraham to just that his perspective will be just the things around him. He had just finished a separation with his nephew when their two companies were striving, and they said, well, this place is not big enough for us. Well, let's just move, let's just spread out. And he asked his nephew, look, you pick whichever way you want to go, and I'll go the opposite direction. Well, Lot, of course, picked what looked better. Everything looked green and so forth. Picked that one. Brother, cool. No problem. I'll just take this one. And so when he took the one, when Abraham took the one that was, didn't look so good at first, you know, out of the kindness of his heart, he allowed his nephew to choose first. You know, a man should never have done, I mean, even Lot should never have done that, because Abraham is the one that has been caring for him, bringing him along. He should have deferred it right back to Abraham, but his heart was like that. And so the Lord was going to tell Abraham something. He said, look, never mind that. Because you may be looking now around you and say, well, I got a short end of the stick. And the Lord said, look, you need to look beyond where you are right now. That's really what I want to talk about today, in today's lesson. You need to look beyond where you are right now. So Lord said to him, come out here, I want to show you something. Say, look, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. That means look beyond where you are. Look out in every direction. Look out toward the north, look out toward the south, look out toward the east, and look out toward the west. For all the land, see, why the Lord telling him to look? So, well, the reason is, you know, all that you can see is what I will give to you and to thy seed forever. Now, that's a powerful lesson. If you digest it in your mind, basically, if Abraham could see more, he would get more. If he saw less, well, he would get less. That's exactly what the Lord said. So I use that to, you know, address you today, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord wants you to look from the place where you are. You know, you've got to look to new horizons. Now, I've talked about this before. The way that you see more physically is you got to clear your line of sight. That's number one. Got to clear the line of sight. I mean, if during that time that God was telling Abraham this thing, there were trees and different things in his line of sight, he couldn't see anything. You have to move to a place where you can actually see. Or you go up higher. I like the go up higher one. You go up higher. And even science defined a mathematical formula of the distance to the horizon, what your eye sees as a horizon, you know, based, it's a factor of, you know, the height of where you are. If you go, the higher you go, the further out that you can see. If you're in a, you know, one of these skyscraper buildings, if you are on, and there is nothing in the line of sight that blocks your view, if you're on the 10th floor, for instance, you'll see more than you could see on the first floor. And if you are on the, say, 20th floor, you'll see a whole lot more than you can see on the 10th floor, and so on and so forth. You know, that's how, you know, you can really see when you go higher up. Even the watchtowers that they build for the at the airports and the control towers and so forth, they, you know, they try to make sure that they can see clear out, you know. So the higher you go, actually, the more you might be able to see farther out. And that also tells us that, look, you got to elevate your faith. To elevate your faith, come out to higher ground, and so that you can see more. So that's one aspect that we'll be talking about. There's new horizons. You know, there are some things that you may have embarked upon the first half of this year, but you know, you got to finish. You can't be a quitter or a starter only and not a finisher. So you got to be a finisher. That's a new horizon of when you start something, you look, see the end of it. Even when you're just starting, you can see the end of it. I mean, how many can actually see the end of something that you're just starting? Well, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has the capacity because he sees the end from the beginning. And he can show you things to come, according to John 16 and 13. He can show you the end of that thing that you started. And God wants us to be a finisher. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, that anybody that starts something and wouldn't go through with it, it's not fit for the kingdom. You know, so putting your hands on the plow and looking back, and you get discouraged and so forth, and you quit. You just say, well, that person is not fit for the kingdom. So for the kingdom, kingdom-mindedness requires that we keep moving forward. And whatever, you know, lies behind, that's okay. But we must keep moving forward. Thank you, Jesus. So That's another aspect that we're going to be talking about today and tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord has given us commandment. Think of the Lord as your commander in chief. When he says go forward, then you better go forward. So, and the things that you are doing, that the Lord said, keep moving. Keep moving, he said. Keep moving. What does that really mean? Well, that means that, you know, the stories around the children of Israel, there were very many times, a few times, or many, that they were stuck. One time they were stuck by the Red Sea. They moved, well, the Lord worked a tremendous miracle to get them across. And then other times, they were in a certain place, and they were stuck there for quite a while. And the Lord said, look, you've been in this place long enough. You got to move forward. So we'll be talking about all of that. But let me give you a scripture for, you know, for this part of it. The things that you started, the Lord wants you also to finish. That means don't give up. Keep working on it and keep moving forward with it. In the book of Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundations of this house. His hands shall also finish it, saith the Lord. That's right. You know, so God doesn't like quitters. You know, the only thing he wants you to quit is quit that old sin nature. You know, but as far as getting things done, you know, and so forth like that, he doesn't like us to be a quitter. You start, you finish. Because he himself finished before he started. And he wants us to inherit that nature. Everything that God does, he's already finished it before he even started it. You heard me say that multiple times. You know, but for us, it looks like we're just starting now, we're struggling with the thing, but in God's mind, it's already finished. Because he has seen the end from the beginning. He has already traversed that path, that journey. He's gone through it. And he's seen the outcome of it. So as far as he's concerned, it's done. And if we have that confidence in him and let him guide you through the journey, help you avoid the, you know, landmines and so forth, because he's already, you know, been through that, because he's already been there. Now, this concept of go forward that God always talks about, let's read something else here that he said. In the book of Isaiah chapter 45, powerful promise, but it also underlining, underneath it is this concept of going forward. You may not have thought about it that way, but let me read it to you today. And let's consider what the Lord is saying to us. In the book of Isaiah, and we read this over the last few days, you know, when we're talking about the opening gates and different things. In the book of Isaiah chapter 45, verse 2, I will go before thee and make straight the crooked places. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now, you remember that this was one of our verses when we dealt on that subject of open gates and break bars. But this has to do with moving forward because he said, I will go before you. So it involves motion. You can't stand in one place. I will go before you, he said. Well, that also means you cannot go ahead of him. You know, you have to let him go first and you follow. Just like Jesus said, my sheep follow me. Sheep can't go ahead of him. They get lost. You got to follow. And so this verse, as powerful as it is, that I will go before you and make straight crooked places. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron for you. But it does require motion. That you keep moving. Because I will go. And then you've got to follow. So, going, you know, Lord said I will go before you. It means that, you know, we got to keep moving. So that's the first part of, you know, now, as you see in nature, things are always moving, even in nature. I mean, you can't, there is nobody, the person himself may pass away, but they cannot prevent the hand of the clock from moving forward. You know, you can't prevent this day from ending and the next day from coming. Today is June 30th. Tomorrow, by the grace of God, will be July 1st. There's nothing anybody can do to prevent that. That's the way it is going to be. God set that in motion long time ago. You know, even that is constantly moving. Constantly. You know, and, you know, physics, in physics, the law of relative motion, you know, if you consider two bodies that are moving, if one is either standing still or moving slower, you know, it might actually look like, you know, you're moving backwards if you didn't move. I mean, you might have seen this or experienced it before. If you're sitting in a train and the train is going and you're looking out, you know, out the window, the things that you see, the rocks, the trees and so forth, you see out the window, it looks like they're moving backwards. You know, they're not moving backwards. It's the train that's moving forward. But it actually appears, I've seen those things move backward because those things were stationary. So anything that's stationary with respect to the next body next to it that's moving, it actually is moving backwards. Because the Lord is always moving. So if you're stationary, you're actually moving backwards. Because the train is moving, you know. So get with the program, I might say. Now, so it is important for us to know that we got to keep moving. When the Lord said, you know, to the children of Israel, actually specifically to Moses, to tell, you know, to give him instructions of, you know, what to do, you know, he actually said, you know, I will send my angel before thee. And so that's the next thing that you also must consider, you know, to bring thee into this place. Exodus 23:23. My angel shall go before thee. Again, it involves motion. It's going forward. It involves motion. I will go before thee, make straight the crooked places, involves motion. Go forward, it's motion. I will, you know, my angels shall go before you, it's motion. All of these things are motion driven. You cannot just stay in one place. You got to move. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to come back to this and tell you prophetically something out of this Exodus 23:23 in a bit. But before I get there, let me read to you something out of the book of Joshua when it was time for them to cross over. Because this, again, this is the concept of crossing over. So in Joshua chapter 3, there's a story of crossing over. In fact, I'm going to make this a Bible reading. I will read through the whole chapter quickly. Pay attention. I may stop here and there and point out a few things. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. There was already some motion there. He and the children of Israel and the lodged there before they passed over. So they're just about passing over. So this is a very relevant chapter. Now, it came to pass after 3 days, just like the 3-day consecration, you know, the officers went through the host and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. So again, this is all about motion, but you got to wait. Somebody is going to go first and then you follow. See, that's what they said. Now, see, yeah, there shall be a space between you and it, you know, right? About give them the distance, that they keep the distance, because so that you may know which way. Don't get too close or don't try to get ahead of it. Let it go first. Then you'll see which way you need to go. He said, because you've not passed through this way before. See, nobody's ever been to July of 2025. Nobody. Not in this room, at least. Well, maybe if you are 24 hours ahead, some places that may be like that on the face of the planet. Maybe they've already gotten to July 1st, but they haven't gotten to the end. There's not a single soul on the face of this planet that has gotten to the end of July 2025. You haven't passed through it, let alone the whole 6 months that remain. You've not never passed through it. So you say, well, you've not passed by this way before, but the ark knows the way. So follow the ark. That's right. And he said, well, and then, you know, Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for the Lord, tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. And I want to say that to you as well. You know, that the Lord will do wonders among us tomorrow, because it's the first day of the rest of the year. Now, especially the second half of the year. So take note of that. Joshua also said to the priests, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. So in my mind, I was enacting this, you know, being that, you know, I mean, we're in the priesthood and my role here is kind of like a priest teaching the word of God and so forth. So I had to enact this in my mind, you know, overnight and thinking about it. And more so, I'll be doing that tonight, you know, passing over. Take the ark of the covenant, pass over before the people. And they took the ark of the covenant and went before the people. See, again, it's all about motion. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I'll begin to magnify you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, shall stand still in Jordan. I'm going to give them instructions now. And Joshua said unto children of Israel, come hither, hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby shall ye know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail. And we're going to be talking about these nations that they have to drive out, and so forth, you know. And he said, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take ye 12 men out of the tribes of Judah, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass. Now, remember that saying. We did that a few weeks ago. It shall come to pass. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord, even the Lord of the whole earth, as soon as their soles of their feet, or the soles of their feet, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off, and the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand still upon a heap. Now, Joshua has seen that before at the Red Sea. You know, so, and the Lord said to him, command the people. And then it came to pass when the Lord had spoken to the people, and Joshua himself had spoken to the people, well, the people removed from their tents to pass over. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have to mobilize to pass over. See, this is it. They removed from their tents. You've got to mobilize in your mind to move forward and to go forward. Now, are you mobilizing already? You know, some people just sit in the gloomy past all the time. Well, no. You got to mobilize to move forward. Remove from your tent. Tent is where you dwell. You know, come out and see new horizons. Look beyond Jordan even. Now, God doesn't want them to go into the river Jordan. God wants them to pass over it. Now, this river was a dividing obstacle. They have to get through that Jordan before they can even get to the other side. Now, on the other side is where the promised land is, a land flowing with milk and honey. But Jordan is just one thing of the many things they have to do to get there. And from this point on, they got to cross that Jordan. And then once you cross, you're going to have to deal with some other obstacles along the way. But first, you got to cross. You know, and he said, well, if you don't cross, you're never going to get there, because it's in that direction. And as long as you're standing here, you'll never get there. So you got to keep moving. Now, so, and here's what happened. When they removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests that were bearing the Ark of the Covenant, as they were commanded earlier, they went before the people. And as they that bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and as their feet, you know, of those that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for at that time, Jordan overflowed his banks. It was a time of harvest. I mean, this thing, the river at that time was just, I mean, it was like the thing was alive. It was, you know, it was just overflowing and everything. And it was a difficult, you know, thing to pass through because it was huge, just coming like waves and everything. But the Lord gave them instruction. Despite all the waves, the arrogance of the waves, the arrogance of the waves of the sea or the river in this case, the Lord said, well, go forward. Yeah, so, but they have to follow the instructions. So when they got there, listen to what they did, because this is what the Lord said they should do. He said, as soon as the feet, your feet shall dip in the water, you stay for a moment and wait for the thing to pass or part. And the waters were cut off. See, there were some streams and different things that were flowing into Jordan and everything. And it was just a massive thing. But the moment they stepped in there, you know, all that influx of water and everything just ceased. And the thing began to part. And it made a heap very far. It was a heap. He said that the waters which came down came to pass at that time, as soon as their feet touched the water, you know, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a very far heap from the city. So this city was called Adam at that time. There's significance also to that. And it was beside this place called Zeratan. And those that came down toward the sea, you know, different things that were feeding into that river Jordan, you know, even all their things, they just failed. They stopped. You know, now, unless you were very strong in heart, you know, when you saw all those raging waters and everything coming down, waterfall and everything dumping into Jordan, Jordan itself stirring itself up, you know, and so forth like that. I mean, it's like a tsunami, everything going on at that time. But the moment they stepped into it, there was a calm. There was just a calm. Even the sea that was, you know, everything around it, Jordan itself was flowing somewhere and everything, it failed. And they were cut off. Because the Lord said so. So that the people could pass over. You know, the Lord did that so that they could pass over. And just like they did, the Red Sea was far more impressive. But this again, even though this was far less than the Red Sea, it was the same kind of difficulty. They couldn't pass through it. And the Lord, you know, caused the river to stand up on a heap. You know, they passed right through it. And Jericho was right on the other side. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, they stood firm on the ground, dry ground, the mist, and all the children of Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed over clean over Jordan. Well, but there are some things that must even accompany the Passover. Praise the Lord. You know, when you pass over, there are certain things that the Lord wants you to do. And so, Joshua mentioned it here, but I also want to read it again from Exodus 23. Exodus 23 says, I'm going to bring you unto the, I mean, so, there are six nations here that the Lord spoke about. In the other places, spoke about seven nations. There were one of them can be called one nation or two combined. You know, but the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites will I cut off. Well, let's look at it prophetically, you know, as though those were the next 6 months. Well, there may be some Amorites that come up against you in July. Perhaps the Hittites will come against you in August. Maybe the Perizzites will come against you in September. The Canaanites in October. The Hivites in November. And the Jebusites in December. But the Lord said, we should mobilize and follow the commandments of the Lord. You will not only cross over, but you will defeat all these nations that are trying to prevent you. In this case, just talking calendars of the month, or months, I mean, months of the calendar. These months cannot prevent you from getting to 2026. And prophetically, you can see yourself over there already. You know, I've already seen it. You know, by the grace of God, I see that I've already passed through the next 6 months, and even 2026 already. You say, well, how can you do that? Well, you know, because the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. But beyond that, you know, there's sometimes God may show you something in a moment of time. But, you know, there are details. So let's talk about the details from point A to point B. You're moving from point A to point B. The Lord may show you that you're already at point B. But then, you know, what happens between A and B? Well, that's all we need to get into. Because he may not tell you necessarily everything that you're going to confront between point A and point B. Let's assume point B is where you're going and you're now at point A. And he said, well, let us cross over to the other side. So you know you're going to get to point B because he said so. But along the way from point A to point B, what might happen? He may or may not tell you. In the case of the disciples, he didn't tell them that there was a storm coming that was going to almost sink the boat, you know, and get them to panic and all that. He just said, we're going to the other side. Well, so we also are passing through. But today, I'm going to tell you, there are some Amorites and some Hittites and Perizzites and Canaanites and Hivites and Jebusites along the way that we have to deal with. But we know we're going to get there because the Lord said that's where we're going. That we got to deal with these things along the way. So, as you prepare your mind and your heart to cross over, and we do invite you to cross over with us. Don't stay behind. No one left behind. You know, Moses, when he went before Pharaoh, he said, no one left behind. Pharaoh said, well, you go, let the men go, leave the women and the children, you know, and so forth. Because he wanted to make sure he had some people to still continue to oppress, or, you know, oppress. And Moses said, no, we are all going. In fact, not only will we be going, the men, we're going with our women, we're going with our children, we're going with all our substance. And Pharaoh's like, I mean, but you say you're only going for 3 days. Why are you carrying all this stuff? You know, so, but Moses said, no, you are going to let us all go and we're going to leave nothing behind. As a matter of fact, not only did they not leave anything behind, God actually gave them the grace to rob, quote unquote, their enemies. Because of all the fury of the Lord that had been poured out on that land, you know, the people were ready to thrust them out. You know, so if there had been none of those plagues, when they went to say, you know, I need some vessels for my journey to their neighbor, they wouldn't give them anything. But because of all the plagues that they had suffered, which in the mind of the Egyptians were suffer these things at the hand of these Jews, let them go. Even some of Pharaoh's officers were telling him that, just let them go already. You know, we suffered enough. And the man's heart was hardened. You know, but finally the last straw, when every firstborn of everything was dying, including Pharaoh's firstborn, all the people, the officers of Egypt, all the, even the regular people of Egypt, they lost all their firstborns, firstborn of cattle, firstborn of dog, firstborn of anything. Even their own children, their firstborns, all of them died. Because the Lord said to Pharaoh, you touch my firstborn, you mess with my firstborn, I'm going to kill yours. And so, you know, by the time they went, the Lord said, go and tell them, give you something for your journey. They just thrust all the golden vessels, everything. They say, just take it and go. Praise the Lord. So not only did Moses not leave anyone behind, they went out with great substance. The Bible said the Lord brought them forth with silver and gold. Praise the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are poised to cross over. This is a preparatory message to let you know what we'll be doing tomorrow, which will be the second part of this lesson. We're going to finish the second part of crossing through Jordan. But today we must remove from our place and get up and go. You know, that's what the Lord said. So, and why, you know, must we do it like that? Well, I'm going to tell you more tomorrow. Praise the Lord. There are many things that the Lord spoke to these people. How he wants to bless them in the land where he's taking them to. But there are many things that are going to withstand them along the way. You know, nations that were greater than them, mightier than them. You know, but the Lord will deliver them before you, he said, and you will smite them, you utterly destroy them. And the Lord warned them about many things, not to make a covenant with them and so forth. Now, let me go back to what we said at the beginning. I want to wrap up today's lesson here. The thing that God is calling us to, especially, is to look to new horizons. Now, there's new things happening for some of you already. That's right. New things are happening for you because God wants to do something new. Hallelujah. He always wants to do something new, but you have to participate. You must be a willing participant in, you know, moving with the Lord. Let him go and you follow. Put your footsteps in his footsteps, or put your foot in his footsteps and you follow him. The ark must go before you and then you follow. You can't go ahead. You got to follow, but you must follow because say, I will go before you. That means it's in the front. You follow. There will be no, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. You know, when he said in Isaiah 45:2, I will go before you and make straight the crooked places. No crooked places will be made straight when you stay where you are. That's right. You know, he said, I will go before you and make straight the crooked places. I will, you know, break the gates of brass, cut asunder the gates of iron. Those gates of brass, they will remain gates of brass until you move forward. The bars of iron, nothing gonna happen. You sit, stand still or sit where you are and you don't move. There's motion involved. God wants you to move. I'm taking you somewhere. You gotta move. You come along with me. Praise the Lord. I don't keep looking back. Jesus warned them. You know, remember Lot's wife. She kept looking back. You know, there are many stories in the Bible that tell us these things. You know, when God wants you to move, he wants you to move. Leave that rewind button alone. Get your hand off of it. And many people, they go through life with one finger on the rewind button. Yeah, that's not going to work. Jesus was telling them in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, remember Lot's wife. What happened to her? I mean, what can you remember about Lot's wife? Well, the most significant thing that we remember about her was that she became a pillar of salt. That's really all. We didn't know too much about her before, but when the angel says, escape for your life, don't look back, just keep going. She did stop and looked back. And the Lord already said, don't do that. And very, very sad, you know. Lot lost his wife that day. The children lost their mother and so forth. Some people lost their mother-in-law. I mean, it was just sad because she looked back. The Lord said, don't do it. You know, so get your finger off that rewind button. You know, leave that alone. You know, leave that past alone. You know, the last 6 months of this year is gone. Can't do anything about it. What you can do, though, is you can learn from it and apply it going forward, but you can't go and change it. It's already gone. You know, so but God wants us to move forward. He wants you to mobilize. We're going to talk about that mobilizing, that moving forward some more. But today, I want you to imagine. That's right. I want to use the word imagine. It's not vain if you are imagining it, you know, in the space and realm of God's word. It's not vain. You can imagine it. God himself, he imagined things. At the beginning, it was in his mind, he imagined it, and he called it forth. And then, you know, just like that. You know, and he imagined the next thing, and he called it forth. Finally, he imagined himself. And so, he made the man like himself. And after that, he was done. There's nothing else to do. You know, so, now, imagine, and the Lord said, come out here. You know, so you can do physically, you can do a physical look around. You can also do a spiritual look around. That's the one I'm calling imagine. Imagine it in even your mind's eye. Jesus said, look, I mean, the scriptures say, you know, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. That think part, in case somebody was thinking that's unscriptural to imagine. No, that think part is the imagining. If you can think it, God can do it and even exceed it. So think it, you know, think it. Well, think about the goodness of the Lord first, like we said yesterday. See what the Lord had done in the lion and the bear, then, you know, consider what he can do again. Well, think about what God has already done. But think about more, because the Lord says, see more to get more. You know, you have dreams of great things that you want the Lord to do for you in your life. Well, think about it. You know, think about it. Don't let it out of your sight. Think about it. Because that's what God told Abraham. Come and look. Imagine all these things. Imagine yourself in all these places that you can see. Just imagine yourself. Imagine that your company will spread out and fill all those places. Look to the left, right, front, and back, you know, east, south, west, north, everywhere. And you just imagine it. If you can see it, I will give it to you. Praise the Lord. Now, what does that mean for you today? Well, what can you see yourself doing or the Lord doing for you in July? Well, think about it. What can you see the Lord doing for you in August? What can you see yourself doing or the Lord doing for you in September? What about October? What about November? What about December? You know, when we coach some young people, we tell them, you know, where do you want to see yourself in X number of years? Well, think about this because God promised it. He said, look, if you can think about it and focus on it, I will give it to you. Hallelujah. All the land that you can see, will I give you. And I call it new horizons because all you have is where you are right now. But Lord said, well, that's cool. But from the place where you are, look out for new horizons. Hallelujah. New horizons are coming your way. And I'm beginning my declaration right now. New horizons are coming for you in the second half of 2025. Hallelujah. Everything that the Lord said in his word. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle will fall to the ground without it being fulfilled. But the Lord said, you must mobilize from the place that you are now. Remove from your tents. You know, people used to say to your tents, O Israel. Well, when they resign in their mind about something, they just say, what? Your tents, O Israel. Well, the Lord said, remove from those tents and mobilize to move forward. But you got to follow. I will go before you. My angel shall go before you. Hallelujah. And you yourself must go forward. And the book of Isaiah 62 and verse 10, he gave us a charge. You know, that we must go forward and go through the gates. You know, don't look at the gates at, well, the gate is closed. Well, some gates are closed until you approach. When you approach, they have motion sensor. You know, some doors like that. If you see the door is closed, you know, it may look closed from afar off, but they are built to sense your motion. When you get close enough, they slide open. It's technology like that. Everybody has experienced that. Now, what looks to you today as gates, you know, the Lord said, well, go forward. You say, how can I go forward? The Lord said, go forward anyway. So when you go forward, you find out that as soon as you get close enough, the thing just opens up. Praise the Lord. And if just think about this way. There are several layers of gates and things that you got to, you know, cross through in this calendar rest of the year. The first gate, we're there right now. As you approach, it opens up. And you get there, and you are in July. And you got to deal with some things. But you can come from a place of advantage, a place of strength, or come from a place of weakness and beggarly attitude and so forth, and think that you are defeated, and you are already defeated. But you can come with a victorious mindset. And then as you get close to the end of that month, you step forward, the next doors open up unto you, and so on, and so on, and so forth. Now, the Amorites that are there for you in July, the Lord said, I will destroy them before you. Now, glory to God. And then you say, well, you know, well, what's next? You know, don't worry about it. One day at a time, as thou goest, thy way shall be opened up before thee, step by step. The Lord knows what he's doing. He wants you. That's why he just wants you to take the first step of faith, and then other instructions will follow. So let's pray. I'm going to pray over the room right now. I declare, Lord, the word of the Lord over everyone that's in this room. First of all, let the scales fall from our eyes, that we will be able to see farther out and see more. The Lord said, all that you can see will I give you. So if we see less, we get less. If we see more, we get more. Dream bigger and see bigger, and the Lord will give you more. I come against the Amorites that are standing before your people in July. Hallelujah. I come against the Hittites that are standing to withstand, actually, your people in August. I come against the Perizzites that are trying to make sure the people don't go through September. I come against the Canaanites that will be fighting that you don't cross through October. I come against the Hivites that say, you're not going through November. And then I come against the Jebusites. I say, I'm not going to let you through December. The Lord has given us the victory. We're going through. And I can see myself and you, my family, my wife, my children, their children after them. I can see us. I already saw it yesterday. I can see us passing through, because I put my mind to it. And you are all coming through as well, because Moses and the Lord said, no one left behind. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you. And help us, give us the grace, the excitement to mobilize for the journey of this, to go through the second half of this year. And the Lord said to Zerubbabel, glory to God, I declare the anointing that God put upon Zerubbabel will come upon you. And that anointing was your hands that started the work will also finish it. That's right. You won't start the work and somebody else finish it. No, you will finish it. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah 62 and verse 8, the Lord said, and I'm going to declare this for you as well, that the Lord has sworn by himself and his own right hand. Ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you that the Lord does not need to swear anything. You know, it is enough for him to just say it and it is done. But when he now swears it, say by two immutable things, you know, wherein it's impossible to lie, that he might give you further confirmation to those who are heirs of the promise he swore. Now, the Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength. Surely, that's right, I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies. That's right. This next half of the year, hear ye the word of the Lord. And we've already instructed you in the last few days to know how to speak to situations when they try to go contrary to what God promised. But here's what he promised. I will no more give your corn. I will no more allow it. Maybe the enemy had stolen some things from you. You got to go after it. The lion stole something from David. He went after it, got it back. The bear too. He went after it, got it back. If the devil took something away from you, you got to go after it. In this next half of the year, you will recover all, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Now, I will not let the sons of the stranger eat your corn. And I will not let the sons of the stranger drink your wine for the which you have labored. Your enemies and the sons of the stranger shall not benefit from the work of your hands. And they will not usurp the things that you have or take over it. The Lord said, I'm not going to allow it. But you that have labored for it, that's right. And you that have gathered it together, you will eat it. You will drink it in the courts of my holiness, saith the Lord. Now, in this next half of the year, I declare and decree for you that which you have been expecting, which the cankerworm, the palmerworm, and the locust, and the caterpillar have eaten. Cough it up, saith the Lord, to those things. For the children of the Lord. For the Lord said, I'm not going to let you do it anymore. Glory to God. And so, standing on this promise, now let's go forward valiantly into the second half of this year. Praise God. And I pray for you that some of those elements and things that you are desiring, you know, at the beginning of the year, people desire many things, maybe even make resolutions and so on. You know, those things that you are desiring, maybe you started on them and then you quit due to frustration, disappointments, etc. Your hands that started those things will also finish it. You go through in the second half in Jesus' name. And those things that have not yet begun, because you're still looking and didn't know how the Lord's going to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren of the stock of Jesus Christ, say, who has declared his generation? Well, we did a few weeks ago. Ye are the generation of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. Nothing can break the word of God except unbelief. So, bestir yourself. You know, remove you from the place of unbelief. Remove you from, well, you know, my cause is lost. I have no hope in the Lord. The Lord is not doing this and that. Remove ye from that posture. Believe the Lord, and so shall you be established. Believe also his prophets. so shall you prosper. Believe the word of the Lord. I will declare unto you today, and know for surety that you must go through those gates that the Lord has promised. I will not let your enemies eat any of his stuff that belong to you anymore. And you go through the gates and go through the gates. The Lord instructed us, the priests, to prepare the way of the Lord, which is what we've done, which is what we are doing the last 3 days now and everything. And then cast up a highway, lift up a standard. The standard is go forward. The standard is because the banner of the Lord, his name's a banner over us, Jehovah Nisi, and he's going before us and we're following after him. And he will get us there. As you cross through, speak to those Amorites for July. As you cross through, ladies and gentlemen, you know, once you are done vanquishing those Amorites, well, and you pass on to August, well, some other things will raise their ugly heads, but you got to beat them down the same way. It's like this game they play called whack-a-mole. You whack him over here. You spring. Those are like the Philistines. Beat them up over here. They come back again. Well, you whack them. You whack the Amorites of July. Whack the Hittites of August. Whack the Perizzites of September. Whack the Canaanites of October. Whack the Hivites of November. And whack the Jebusites of December. And go on and possess. And the Bible says in Obadiah chapter 17, the house of the Lord, the house of Joseph, the house of the children of God shall possess their possessions. Thank you, Father. I pray that there is an understanding that arises in the heart of your people to remove from the place of complacency and the place of discouragement, to move to a place called Jireh, to move to a place called Shalom. You move from a place of unrest, you're moving to a place called rest in Jesus' name. You move from a place of running helter-skelter to the place where the Lord said, my people shall dwell in quiet resting places. Hallelujah. And we declare and decree for you a change in your story for the better. Glory to God. As you go into between now and tomorrow, think of it this way. Going into the start of this new half, but I'm actually going through, not just going into and stop. I'm going through. That's a better word. Not into, but through. We're going through it. I'm going to pass through July. I'm going to pass through August. I'm going to pass through September. I'm going to pass through October. I'm going to pass through November. I'm going to pass through December. And along the way, I'm going to pick up a lot of blessings. Those things which my hand started, and will also finish them. And the blessing of the Lord that is with me, that I've declared that the enemy shall not eat my labor, so will it be. Now that enlargement, that quantum leap, that promotion, that goodness, that blessing, that increase in your family is coming. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The increase, the wellness in your body, hallelujah, is coming, you know. Is the Bible say of the increase of his government, there shall be no end? Well, the increase of your peace also. The Lord has guaranteed it is coming. When the Lord shall have removed, you know, all the things that terrorize you, which the Bible called the bands of wickedness. The Bible called them the heavy burdens. The Bible called them the oppressing and oppressing spirits. And then the Bible called them the evil yokes. When the Lord shall have dealt with all those things, then shall ye say, blessed be the name of the Lord, our peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who has given us rest on all sides. I give the Lord the praise, and I give the Lord the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.